Sorry, a little late, but we'll. And after Yontif, we'll go back to Pirkei Avos. But I thought before the Yom HaNaroim, we'd speak about issues that also connect with preparing for being an owl, preparing for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sukkos. And we've been discussing, of course, the issues of Geirushin and Ishus. You know, and one might think that, Ma'inyan, Gitin Eitzel Tshuva, right? So, when I indicated the other day that I wanted to speak a little more about, this question of Kedushas Ishus and how, what role the get, plays in that and so on. So we also indicated that, this is kind of a paradigm in some respects to the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, and that, tshuva is, obviously a critical, critical aspect of that, as well. So on the one hand, when we think of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, we, are... properly reticent to, apply a mashal, any kind of metaphor, lest we trivialize or cheapen, in other words, the relationship. It's supposed to be a unique relationship. Anything in connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam is, inimitable, and by definition, therefore unique, singular. The Rambam, of course, says this in numerous places in all of his writings, especially in Mor Nevuchim, but in others, other of his writings as well. Any language that we use in connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam is merely approximate language. Sometimes it's called the doctrine of negative theology or negative attributes. It's not just a question of precision. Obviously, it's a question of theological propriety as well. You want to speak about the Ribbono Shel Olam in, Bederech Kavod, and certainly, Bediuk, being precise. And, on the other hand, there would be no ability, to discuss the most important relationship in our lives, if there was no license, to do so. And therefore, as Chazal put it in the Rishonim expanded it, Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam, which means that we, even as we acknowledge that certain language, terminology, metaphors are inadequate, nonetheless they're important, in our ability, to express ourselves, to explore, to develop that kesher, which is, again, the most important kesher in our life. What gives our lives meaning is the fact that we are connected with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore to have terminology, that we can employ is a necessity. So on the one hand, we bemoan its inadequacy, and we affirm its inadequacy, and then, we plunge right in. But there obviously is a price to pay for the imprecision. But what's, less well known is that the terminology that the Torah itself sanctions with respect to that relationship obviously is more, validates it. If the Torah itself, makes certain comparisons, then obviously that validates itself. But what I would add is that to the extent that the Torah legitimizes certain metaphors, in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is comparable to, relationship A or relationship B, so it also significantly upgrades, those relationships. Even as is an acknowledgement that there's still a huge gap, the fact that we, out of necessity, are employing particular metaphors, really elevates those metaphors. And of course, the two most common are the father-child metaphor, that we looked you know, Avinu Shabashamayim, you know, Banim Atem Lamakom, this idea that, you know, there is a, I mean, there are really three that are, one is, of course, Eved and Adon, you know, that implies a certain absoluteness, but, you know, also a certain distance. No one thinks that the Eved and the Adon, it's a bond, that it's an existential bond, but it's kind of a one-way, you know, bond. So I'll speak about that another time. Ben and Av, you know, that of course is, again, something that we find a lot in Tanakh. That implies, you know, creator created, obviously, you know, the sense of dependence is captured in that way. You know, also again, very much an existential bond in the sense that, you know, we, just like, you know, there's genetic, you know, connection and also a cultural one, and in terms of aspirations, right, the Torah itself, you know, sees, you know, Kibud Av Va'Em as being so central. It's like the, you know, the Ma'abar in the Aseres HaDibros, and, you know, L'man Yarichun Yomecha. It's also a linchpin, you know, for other things, according to some Mefarshim, you know, Masorah, Akaras HaTov, a certain kind of bond, Vishinantam Levanecha, that's the Yisod of Torah. Again, talk about Eved and Adon and Av and Ben more extensively maybe another time. But the third one, of course, is the marital bond, the bond of husband and wife. And, you know, Minakal El Akaved, you know, starting from Eved and Adon, you know, next Ben and Av, and then, you know, Ish V'Isha, these are very different relationships, but, you know, the marital relationship, obviously, is the most ambitious and aspirational, you know, in that, you know, it's about, you know, an acknowledged, you know, distance and different roles, obviously. That's one of the Torah's, you know, primary, you know, singular approaches to, you know, gender relations, and what differentiates it, and it makes important to reinforce this bismanenu, because right now, you know, in the larger world, and even, you know, in some circles in the Jewish world, you know, the differentiation or the specialization is really very much, you know, being attacked, and not just implicitly, just explicitly. But the Torah's view about, you know, gender relations is, you know, as many of us understand it, you know, equal but different, or, you know, emphasizing the importance of each role, but understanding how they complement and supplement and each other. But by and large, you know, we're talking about a real, you know, reciprocity. When it comes to the marital relationship in particular, as we've noted, you know, expressions like in the halacha, like Baal Ki'ishto and Ishto, you know, Kebaal, abound, and these have halachic, you know, impact. They're not just, you know, nice expressions. You know, it's not just a way of being positive and eloquent and affectionate. You know, the legal significance of saying Baal Ki Ishto and Ishto Kebaal is considerable. Gemara says in, you know, Sanhedrin, that, you know, just like a person can't be Meid Al Atzmo, he can't be Meid Al Ishto, you know, Ploni Ravas Ishti, you know, and that's, you know, because of Baal Ki Ishto and Ishto Kebaal. I mean, the idea of being a Baal Davar and being Meid Al Atzmo, which is completely disqualified, by definition, Eidus is, you know, the testimony of a third party, not one of the Baalei Dvarim. So obviously, the only, you know, bond that qualifies, you know, kind of rubs out the difference of identity with regard to this halacha, is the marital one. I mean, there's a psul kurva for a father and a son, you know, and other krovim as well. But, you know, psule kurva are not the same as Baal Ki Ishto and Ishto Kebaal. You know, we don't say, you know, Palgin and Dibure, you know, the Gemara in the beginning of, say, of Sanhedrin, Daf Tes, Daf Yud. We don't say that about kurva. We say, to use the Ravid's perspective, Eidu Shabbat L'Mitzvasa, you know, batla kula. And the same is true with regard to actual kurva. You know, Elohina Krovin, so gives Mishnah in Elu in Zeborer, also in Sanhedrin. Like there's a whole hierarchy of, you know, who qualifies as a paro, you know, to be possibly Eidos. Very important to know for many different reasons. And when it comes to, you know, that, you know, concept, there's an idea in some cases of Baal Keishto. Sometimes, you know, the spouse, you know, is treated, you know, like the blood relative in such a kind. Again, when yes, when not, is not germane for the moment. And in other contexts too, you know, halakha context, the Gemara uses this expression, Baal ki ishto, ishto kebal. One point the Gemara suggests that maybe, according to some, the Girsa of some Rishonim, that maybe you could be mechalek between Baal ki ishto and ishto kebal, whether it goes in both directions, but that's not for us for now either. But the point I'm trying to make is that this bond, you know, isn't just, we've been talking about, you know, heter ishus and isra kula alma in the case of Erusin and then, you know, Nisuin, but it's much more than that. It really is, you know, creating an existential bond, which on the one hand certainly identifies, certainly retains the different identities of the genders as genders. That, as I mentioned before, is very important. You know, and also as human beings, as people. I always point out, like, you know, the sixth of the Sheva Brachos and the seventh of the Sheva Brachos, you know, one which follows the other and one which is maybe a sine qua non for the other. You know, the sixth one, Sameach Tesamach, ends Misameach Chasan V'chala, you know, continuing to acknowledge, you know, the independence of each. And the seventh one, which is, you know, point to Orchas Chaim, Habarna Kohen Milunil, is a summary bracha of all of them, but it's also clearly the climax of them, is Misameach Hasan, you know, Imakala. So the Imakala is based on the Vichala, and it doesn't wipe out Vichala, but, you know, there is, in every marriage, in every relationship, you know, there is, you know, that's what makes it complex, but also very aspirational. You know, there is on the one hand, you know, the retention of individuality, and at the same time, you know, the merging, you know, of personalities into one. Sometimes husband and wife are a corporate, you know, entity, that kind of a shutfus, and sometimes, you know, as I say, even when they're shutfim, you know, gimel shutfim ba'adam, you know, they remain, you know, identified as individuals. It's not a stira, it's just part of the complexity, you know, of actual life, and more important, part of the complexity of projected halacha, you know, as a system of values, and, you know, you know, a different kind of, you know, I guess, metaphysical structure. You know, it's true to say that, you know, that both of these things are true at the same time, and even more that they have to be true. You know, at the same time. And of course the you know, halachic cementing takes place, you know, a little bit in the, you know, stage one of Erusin, you know, but much more, of course, in the context of Nisuin. So this bond, you know, we're just touching on it a little bit, you know, is unique in relationships that the halacha, you know, recognizes. And that's, you know, the reason why, you know, we've been suggesting that on the one hand, like a get, you know, seems so out of place and so problematic, so disturbing, you know, because how could you, you know, achieve this kind of, you know, unity and existential oneness, you know, even if there are other, you know, constructive facets of also retaining separate genders and separate identities and so on. But the very fact that you even have, you know, any, you know, attainment or expressions or manifestations of the unity part, like how could that be consistent, you know, with anything, you know, that, you know, could be terminated? So the bond is basically permanent, even though it's terminatable. Can you say terminatable? Maybe. But, you know, that's one of the things that we've been discussing. You know, the suggestion is, you know, either that's simply true because it's true, you know, for more technical reasons, or it's true as an investment in various different ways. And I still want to discuss what actual Mepharshim, you know, say about it, just to show you that I'm not, you know, making all of it up. You know, sometimes you have to demonstrate that, but also just to give credit to, you know, the Chachmei Masorah who have, you know, thought profoundly and articulated, you know, these ideas. So we'll get back to that. You know, but the very, you know, difficulty that we're contending with is a function of the aspiration of this relationship. If it was more of a, you know, an efficiency, a hesder, if you will, like an arrangement, you know, that, you know, negates isurei znus and that promotes, let's say, you know, some cooperation and you know, efficiency, especially, you know, the different strengths of the genders or the, you know, the different roles, you know, being effective, just like, you know, any corporate structure has an efficient, you know, component, you know, as well. If that's all that it was, you know, then, you know, the ability to terminate would be a davar pashut, you know, and probably the bond to begin with would be more limited too. But precisely because we, you know, have such high, not just hopes, but aspirations, really, meaning because we do hold in such esteem the potential of this union, that's why the Simcha of Chasan Vakala is really so, you know, it's so intense. You know, therefore, the problem, or not the problem, the challenge of understanding, you know, a get, you know, that becomes much more formidable. And that's kind of what we've been discussing. So the fact that this is also, along with Eved and Odon and Ben and Av, you know, this is also a formulation about the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam, you know, fits very well with what I said before, which is, on the one hand, you know, you have to, you know, take that, you know, with some qualification, you know, because you, you know, you don't want to be moel, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to go too far, and you don't want to tarnish, you know, the transcendence and the uniqueness of the relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, which is the raison d'etre, the purpose of life itself. And on the other hand, the fact that we need, you know, employable, you know, terminology, and the fact that this is one maybe that is the most ambitious, you know, certainly elevates. Couldn't do that, you know. It has to be elevated for it to be effective, even in, on the level of Dibra Torah K'lashon B'nei Adam. Dibra Torah K'lashon B'nei Adam doesn't just mean the language is inadequate, but what can we do? We're going to use it. It means that we choose the language, depending on the context, you know, that is as proximate as possible, and that conveys as much as possible, you know, even with the limit of you know, the limitations of language and the limitations of imagination, you know, what we're talking about. So all this certainly elevates, you know, the concept of marriage, and it also makes any discrepancies, you know, between, you know, the Klal Yisrael marriage with the Ribono Shel Olam and the, you know, the human marriage, you know, between, you know, a husband and a wife, you know, it definitely accentuates that. And, you know, you could just chalk it up to, again, the Dibro Torah K'lishon B'nei Adam, and that might be the answer. But, of course, it helps to understand it a little better, and, you know, probably, you know, it's possible to do that. So in the Torah itself, we don't have so many explicit references, you know, employing this metaphor. But Chazal, you know, really understood, you know, the building of the Mishkan. They understood, you know, Maimet Har Sinai, you know, Matan Torah, you know, Kaf Aleihem Har Kegigis. You know, they understood B'yom Simchas, you know, Libo. Like all, many of these expressions were understood to refer to a, again, the Torah is explicit about, you know, the Eved and the Odon in some cases, and Banim Atem LaShem, This part is maybe less explicit, maybe because it's more ambitious, therefore it has to be a little less, you know, explicit, frankly. And maybe there are other reasons too, we'll get back to that. But as I say, Chazal really understood, you know, not, you know, here or there, but it's like a very ubiquitous, very, you know, prevalent and pervasive perspective that, you know, that this is an appropriate metaphor. And again, if, you know, if the source of Kedusha and Shechina, you know, Maimed Har Sinai, Matan Torah, you know, the Mishkan, you know, if these are the, you know, contexts, you know, once again, that obviously validates and elevates all of this as well. And we're not talking about, you know, even, you know, you know, the world of Torah Hasod or Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, of course, this notion of, you know, like a marriage between Kivyachal, between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael is very, you know, much, you know, a very important, very basic theme, and it also, you know, impacts, you know, the interaction between, you know, within, you know, the world of the spheros itself. Again, we're not going to, you know, go into detail, but even the interaction within the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, the male side, the female side, the question of initiative and you know, reception, all of those things, but certainly the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam is understood, you know, very much, very frequently in this way. But, you know, even in the more mainstream, you know, and even halachic, you know, literature of Chazal, as I say, this is a very prominent idea. So if you look at, like, the Mechilta, you know, and the Sifrei, even there you find this concept. And these are the, you know, halachic midrashim. And, of course, in regular Medrash Rabbah and among, you know, Mefarshim, the whole story of Chet HaEgel, you know, which is smack in the middle of, you know, two subtly maybe, you know, different, you know, versions, slightly different order, different language of the building of the Mishkan, right, is perceived as a kind of, you know, metaphor for, you know, Eshes Ne'urim, you know, the idyllic, you know, marriage, and then, you know, the betrayal, and then, you know, not exactly Machsa Grushoso, but something like it, you know, and then the, you know, the, you know, the reformulation of the, you know, relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's really compared to, you know, to a kind of Maisa Sota, except that, as we know, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's different in that, you know, that the restoration is possible. Maybe because there's no Machsa Grushoso, so maybe there really, you know, wouldn't have been an Issa Sota. Well, we're not allowed to talk about that today. We'll talk about it again tomorrow. But it's something to think about. So already, and again, that's in, like, you know, mainstream, you know, midrashim. So it isn't just, you know, Torah Sasod. It isn't just, you know, some rabbi, you know, who, you know, felt the pressure to give a drasha, you know, for the, you know, the couple, you know, in the shul. We're talking about very serious things. Of course, the whole, once you go beyond, you know, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, which, of course, you know, has its own special stature, you know, then it becomes very explicit in the rest of Nach. And we're certainly not going to, you know, pinpoint every reference. That would take a very, very long time. You know, but some references are, like, you know, very, you know, rare, and some Sifrei Nach. But, and some of them are just very, very, you know, as I say, present. So, of course, Shir HaShirim, the idea that Shir HaShirim is a metaphor, you know, for the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam is, you know, explicit in the Rambam and other Mefarshim and Chazal, you know, throughout Shir HaShirim, you know, make these references. And Shir HaShirim is very explicit, you know, to the point that, again, there was a certain discomfort, obviously, with Shir HaShirim. And that's why there's a debate in the Gemara, you know, whether Shir HaShirim could be or should be part of the, you know, canon, you know, Sifrei, you know, Kodesh, whether it's one of the Chavdal and Sfarim or not. And, you know, of course, we paskin that it is. And, you know, interesting, Rabbi Akiva, that not only is it Kodesh, but it's, you know, Kodesh Kadashim. So that's very, you know, very fascinating. The Rav once said that one of the reasons that it's Kodesh Kadashim is because you can't read Shir HaShirim, you know, Kipshuto. The psukim themselves are just hard to translate, and they don't always, you know, as a narrative, they don't, you know, fully, you know, cohere. And also, if you do read it, you know, just explicitly as pshat, then, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's obvious that that, you know, wouldn't be, you know, reflecting a davar shebikdusha, and it might be even a little bit, like, you know, uncomfortable to translate, you know, kipshuto, you know, all the time. If you look in, you know, the Targumim and, you know, the Mefarshim, you know, I guess in modern times, you know, an art scroll, that they get a lot of criticism, you know, for you know, going maybe even a little further, you know, so the metaphoric explanation of Shir HaShirim, you know, the Mashal and the Nimshal, you know, can really take over. So the Rav once said that, you know, the reason that it's Kodesh Kadashim is Dafka because this is very much in line with the Rav's, like, general, you know, thinking, you know, that something which is, you know, private and something which is, you know, more beseser, you know, has greater kedusha. And, you know, being, like, explicit about certain things, you know, detracts from it. So he was trying to suggest that one aspect of Shir HaShirim being Kodesh HaKadashim, and in general, Shira, you know, which is Ariach Al Gabi Levena, is in some cases more space, you know, than text, is that, you know, that's what Kedusha, you know, really is. You know, the idea of Prisha and the idea of Tzniusa, and all this, you know, adds to, you know, Kedusha, in Kedusha Ela Prisha. But, of course, you know, Rabbi Akiva's idea that Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadosh means more than that. It means that, you know, on the one hand, you know, it's like Kiddushei Bia a little bit, you know. On the one hand, you know, it's the most problematic because, again, if you take it, you know, without any kind of qualifications, you know, so it seems very crude, you know, and it borders on you know, Kiddushei Bia borders on Znus, and Shir HaShirim, you know, borders on, you know, very, you know, explicit and uncomfortable, you know, treatment of a certain aspect of life. And at the same time, if you can put it in context and understand, you know, what it really, you know, intends to convey, what it really, really signifies, you know, then it's a davar shebikdusha. So it's both. It's not a coincidence, you know, that there were those who denied, you know, its spot in the canon of Tanakh, you know, and then there are those, you know, including Rabbi Kiva, and also probably not such a surprise, who said that it was Kodesh, you know, Kadashim, because they understood that this metaphor, you know, is really an indispensable, you know, tool, you know, in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So not to trivialize that and to make it into just a, you know, physical attraction or a love story, you know, etc. But on the contrary, that it, you know, it dibratorical is shown b'nei adam, but it elevates, you know, also what you know, what the idea of avas, you know, ish v'ishto, you know, is really supposed to be. So when the Rambam, who of course was the, you know, rationalist, you know, par excellence, when he compares, you know, the love of Klal Yisrael to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, you know, to, you know, what borders on an obsessive, you know, passion, the Ketzad Hi Ahava HaRe'uya, this is Perek Yud Halacha Gimel, Hu She'ehav Es Hashem Ahava Gedola Yisera Rabba Aza Ad Ma'od, like a fierce, like a an ava, which is azas, you know, fierce, a certain intensity, you know, to it. Achete nafsho kshura, the avas Hashem, the nimsa shoge bo tamid, it's like a kind of single-minded focus. You could even say maybe obsession. Ki'ilu chole ahava, right, like a lovesick person. She'ein daitam pnuya me'avas osa isha shu shoga batamid. Bein b'shivto, bein b'kumo, bein b'shashu ochel v'shose. Right, yeser mizeh, tier avas Hashem b'leiv ohavav, shogim bo tamid, k'mo she'tzivanu b'chol avavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol me'odecha. V'hu she'shlomo omer, derech masho, ki cholas ahava ani. And then he adds, v'chol shira shirim, mashal hu, right, le'inyan, le'inyan zeh. So in the case of shira shirim, you know, this is, you know, very, very clear. But, you know, also there are other sifrei nach, you know, where this, you know, is very, very, you know, front, you know, and center. Let's say, you know, in Yeshaya, for example, which we'll get back to, some of the specific psukim, but Yeshaya Perek Nun. Throughout Yeshaya, Yirmiya, and Yechezkel, the references of wayward Klal Yisrael to a, you know, to a you know, to a betrayal, you know, of a marriage, you know, but also the description of you know, the reconciliation, you know, as a marriage, or the reconstitution of a marriage, and a very idyllic, you know, one of that is like, you know, very, again, ubiquitous in these svarim. Again, we've been reading, you know, some of these as haftaras, you know, in the last time, and you know, especially the Nechemtas, Sheva Nechemta, right? Ko'amar Hashem. This, of course, is more directly related. I want to speak about in a minute. Eza Sefer Krisus Imchem Asher Shalachtia. Right? Where's the? Where was the get? Right? Omimi No Shai Asher Macharti Eskan Lo. Ein Bavon Oseichem. Nimkartem u'b'fishechem shulcha imchem madu abasi v'einish karasi v'einone hakatzar katzra yadi, you know, mipdus v'im ein bikoach lahatzil heim begarasi achriv yam, right, osim nahoros midbar tivash degasam v'ein mayim v'samos batzama, meaning like the Rabbanu Shalom wonders why Klal Yisrael, you know, gave up, like where it's not like there was an effective, you know, get. But this is, I say, this is like all throughout Yeshaya, you know, we have, you know, these references. It's, you know, it's not Shira Shirin, but it's still very, very pervasive. Perek Mendalid, Pasuk Bab, just giving a few. Ki ki'isha azuva ba'tzuvas ruach kira'ach Hashem ve'eshes ne'urim, like the issues that we're dealing with in the end of Gittin, ki timae samar lokayach berega katan azavtich brachamim gedolim akabtech b'shetzef ketzef histarti panai rega mimech b'chesed olam richamtich amar goalech Hashem. And then of course you have you know, again, this continuous references in Perek Samach Beis, you know, Pasuk Hei. Just wrote down a few that are very well known to us anyway. You know, you have ki yival bachur besula, yivaluch banayach umesos chasan al kala yasis alayach elokayach. You know, samach beis, that's samach beis hey. Then you have samach aleph, you know, earlier samach aleph yud, sos asis bashem sagel nafshi belakay kibishani bigdayeshem yilkstaka yatani kechasan yakahein peer v'chakala taade keleha. You know, and on, frankly, you have, you know, again and again, you have these, you know, these references. And of course, you know, in Hosea, the entire Hosea is really about, you know, preparing for, you know, reconciliation, you know, and the comparison, you know, and even the experience, you know, of a marriage gone toxic or sour, you know, but again, ki'ilu, the, you know, the Isur Sota, you know, doesn't apply, you know, in the same way to that marriage as it does, you know, to a human marriage. But the Hosea, whole Hosea Perek Aleph and Perek, you know, Lech kachlach eshe zenunim, right? Kizona tizne haaretz me'acharei Hashem, you know, and so on and so forth. Anochi lo isha v'taser zenuna mipanea v'nafafeha, and so on. Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav Zayin and Tes. I just wrote down a few. Perek Gimel, Lecha Ho Vishav Avuvas Reya. The whole beginning of Hosea, basically, is in this spirit, and Perek Dalet, and Perek Vav, and then again in Perek Tes. Then, of course, you have the beautiful Pasuk in Amos that is like a, I think, really like a key to understanding, you know, the bond, but also the difference, and that we're going to get back to. I see I'm running out of time a little bit, but in Amos Per Gimel Pasuk Beis, you know, Rak etchem yadati mikol mishpachos ha'adama, al kein efkad alechem, you know, es kol avonoseichem. So it sounds like the Rabboni Shalom is saying that because of the special bond and relationship that I have with you, I treat you, you know, more severely. It's like Chazal say, you know, that Tzaddikim, you know, are treated like, you know, hasara, that the expectations are higher, the stakes are higher, you know, in a real, you know, existential bond, and therefore, in some respects, the punishments, you know, for disappointing, are disappointment is more acute, and the punishments, you know, are likely to be greater as well. So we'll get back to that pasuk, you know, a little bit later on. So on the one hand, the, you know, because the stakes are higher, you know, the retribution is quicker and fiercer, you know, etc. It's not just, you know, a divorce. It's a divorce and, you know, a lot of, you know, exile and punishment and practically, or in some cases, actual, you know, destruction, you know, that goes beyond, you know, any kind of other relationship, including an actual marital relationship. And at the same time, as we already noted, the idea of reconciliation, even in the context of betrayal, is something which distinguishes, you know, seemingly lekula, you know, that that bond, you know, and that relationship as well. So let me just make one quick R, and then I'll, you know, be able to continue this on another point. But getting back to Eza Sefer Krisus Imchem Asher Shalachtia, it's very interesting to note that, you know, if you look in Yirmiya, you know, Perek Gimel, and the Radak, already the Ibn Ezra, and the Radak, and then, of course, you know, the other Mepharshim follow, they already, you know, make note of this, that there seems to be a stira. Again, the pasuk in Yeshaya is the pasuk, by the way, that the, you know, Balaturim, who we talked about, you know, made note that there are three places in Tanakh where the word Sefer Krisus, you know, exactly, you know, appears. Two of them in the Parsha and Kitetze, that we've been discussing. And the third one here in Yeshaya, you know, where the Rabbanu Shalom says, Eza Sefer Krisus Imchem. I mean, I never gave a get, you know, to Klal Yisrael. But there is also the pasuk in Yirmiya, and the Malbim, you know, here in Kitetze makes note of it. That's one of the things that, you know, the Malbim, you know, really excels at. But the pasuk here in Perek Gimel, again, the whole, you know, beginning here of Yirmiya, as the Farshim I'll point out, is the, you know, again, part of this mashal. But here the Pasuk says in Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches, Va'era ki al kol odos asher niyafa, right, Mishuva Yisrael, Shilachtiha, which means Geirashtiha, right, the Shilach Lebeso, Va'etain a sefer krisuseha eleha, and I gave her a sefer krisus. Just doesn't say the word sefer krisus. Sefer krisuseha, okay, right? Velo yara, right? Bogeda Yehuda akosa, va'telach datizen gamhi. Okay, so this pasuk in Yirmiya you know, does seem to indicate, you know, that there was a get between, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam and Knesset Yisrael, you know, as a result, you know, of their improper behavior. So this, of course, triggered a huge discussion of the Mefarshim, you know, and the Radak and Yirmiyah on the spot. Again, it comes earlier. The Ibn Ezra says this in Yeshaya, suggests that there's a difference between, initially suggests that this pasuk in Yirmiyah is like very limited, and that it refers specifically, you know, to the ten shvatim, and even more specifically to the malchus of the ten shvatim. In other words, the sefer krisus. It, again, that's not the pshat in Sukkot. But in order to be miyashev, this stira between, you know, Yeshaya Nun Aleph and Yirmiyah Gimel Ches, you know, so the suggestion is to narrow, you know, based on the context at least, you know, as much as possible. That's the first. Afalpi, right? Shechatom Meshubach Yisrael Tekhila. One second. Here it is. The Hine Amar Yeshayahu, right? Eza Sefer Krisus Simcha Masher Shalachtia. Rimiyo Amar Vatena Sefer Krisus Seha Eleha. Pirisha Mefaresh, this is like what Ibn Ezra says in Yeshayah. Ki Yirmiya Diber Keneged Aseres Hashvatim, Shenasalem Sefer Krisus, Shelo Yia Od Mehem Melech. Kibbutz Golios Amar, the David Avdi, right, Nasi Liolam. V'yamar v'lo yechatzu od l'shtei mamlachos. Avalo nasalam sefer krisus, right, but not a real sefer krisus, just with respect to the issue of, you know, the legitimacy of malchus, you know, the ten shvatim. Ela kebal shemotzi ishto shekatzaf eleha, aleha, avalo nasalam sefer krisus, right, mipnei zeh mutar lahachzira elav, v'chein Yehuda asid lahachzir hamalucha. V'nuchal afarish gam kein, Radak wasn't happy with that completely because of the context, because he didn't think the pshat was so limited. L'fisha asara hashvatim, right, lo shavu min agolus mibavel, v'od mishagolu lo yatsu mimakom galusam, aval shevet Yehuda, right, lo nasalem sefer krisa shari shavu la'artza. In Yeshaya, let's see if I have that here, the Radak goes even further. So it's just very interesting. He has the first two, but then he adds, since my time is up, let me just get to this. He says, he's even reluctant to say, he's basically suggesting that this refers to, you know, either Malchus alone or Aseres HaShvatim, that, you know, didn't return when they could have and didn't return, you know, to Eretz Yisrael. But then he says that, you know, because our Masorah is that, you know, ultimately, you know, B'Yemos HaMashiach, there will be a reunion of the entirety of Klal Yisrael. So, you know, where's the get krisus there? So he says something really interesting. Amar keneged Yehuda eza sefer krisus, klomar ki krovim atem lashuv elai, kasher shavtem pamacheres. Ki ein beini ubeinechem sefer krisus, ubishuvchem yashuvu gamkein shar hashvatim. Ki David yimloch al Yisrael. V'chein omar Yecheskel, hine ani lokeach eseit Yehuda, ashov yad Ephraim, right, v'shivtei Yisrael chaveirav, v'nosati osam alav, eseit Yehuda, v'asisem le'eitz echad. Yafa pisha nasan lahem sefer krisus, meaning Aseres HaShvatim, kvar haya hakrisus gadol v'orach galus me'od. Here he's trying to say that even Aseres HaShvatim don't really get a full get. They get kind of what looks like a get. It's ki sefer krisus, right? V'hine yashiv osam im shevet Yehuda. This is also his way of saying, basically in their own right, right, they would be Asur forever. There would be no, you know, machzir, you know, it would be machzir grushaso. It wouldn't happen. But in the schus of, and in the, as a way of attaching themselves to Yehuda, That's how the Aseres HaShvatim will return as well. Hinei lo nimkartem ve'enem tzrichim lekesef biptuseichem elavonoisechem hayu dmei hamechira v'hatshuva tia kesef apetos. So it's also fascinating what this is, the relationship to tshuva. Is the Radak is explaining, we'll suggest other explanations going forward, that the reason that there's no get is because of the institution of tshuva. In other words, tshuva is what neutralizes, you know, the absoluteness of what otherwise would be the absolute impact of the begida. What you don't have in a personal marriage, I'm elaborating a little bit, is what you have for Klal Yisrael in its relationship to the Ribono Shel Olam, both as individuals and the collective, and that is tshuva. So what's interesting is if you look at the Radak, so the reason that the relationship is different because of the institution of tshuva, because this is all about chet, as opposed to personal begida, what it really sounds like is exactly the opposite. Because the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam is so singular and unique, the gift of tshuva, and a tshuva which can even override begida, is forthcoming. And I think that's exactly an explanation of what the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Hilchos Tshuva. Because it's very peculiar that the Rambam, you know, there are different aspects of this, the culmination of all of Hilchos Tshuva is simply Avos Hashem. Right? There's not a word about tshuva in Perek Yud. And of course the whole section is tshuva. It's the culmination of Sefer Maada, the culmination of Hilchos Tshuva, but there's nothing in it about tshuva. Which says a lot about what tshuva is, in my opinion, just briefly. Tshuva isn't just, for the Rambam, canceling chatayim. Tshuva is an aspect of the broader relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's why it's in Sefer Maada. It's part of Avodas Hashem. But what really being told is that in some respect, the institution of tshuva, and using the Radak, and its capacity even to override what in a personal relationship would be an unforgivable and irrevocable, you know, betrayal, that in itself is an expression of the special Avas Hashem, the special Ava between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam. If it wasn't for the relationship that is outlined by Shir HaShirim and hinted at in the Medrash's understanding of Matan Torah and Maimon Har Sinai and the building of the Mishkan, and so upfront in Yeshaya and Yirmiyah and Yechezkel and, you know, Hosea and so on and so forth, if it wasn't for that bond, then there wouldn't be the kind of tshuva, right, that itself, you know, distinguishes, you know, this marital relationship, notwithstanding the Dibra Torah Kalashon B'nei Adam, you know, from that marital relationship. And therefore, it's the tshuva itself as a function of the indispensability and also the transcendence of the relationship. This is a relationship which even betrayal cannot destroy. Because it's not a human relationship. You know, it's a relationship that defines existence itself. Okay, stop here. Pick up on both the tshuva and the relationship part of it.